Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
We welcome you in. This is another edition of Inside Boxing Live. My name is Dan Canobio, your host every single week here. It's been a great stretch here for Inside Boxing Live, bringing you some of the biggest names in the sport. And it doesn't stop this week. Ryan Garcia is here, King Rye. You know, this guy's always in the headlines. He's coming back April 9th against Emmanuel Togoh. So we got in-depth conversation with Ryan Garcia on everything going on in his life, you know, being out of the ring for so long. We know about his mental health issues. He went in depth there, you know, talking about how, you know, how low he was at one point, you know, bouts of depression, you know, thoughts of suicide. I'm appreciative that he was willing to share those types of things with me and the audience because they're important, and he's doing great things to help smash the stigma. We also talked about, of course, Kambosos, Tank Davis, you know, the failed Manny Pacquiao negotiations, what it's like to be 23 years old, have everyone wanting a piece of you. I feel like he's maturing a little bit. That's what I got from this interview with Ryan Garcia. I've interviewed him a bunch of times in the past, and you know, in the past, you know, he was kind of feeling it. You know, he was feeling every bit of being Ryan Garcia, all the attention that comes along with it. This time, you can see that he's a little more mature. Maybe his head is in the right place, because I think he could be a big asset to the boxing world. Huge fights can be made for Ryan Garcia. Big one with him. So I appreciate that. It's a great, great interview. Boxing world buzzing. There are a lot of fights being made. There are a lot of fights being rumored. There are a lot of fights being announced. This past week, Errol Spencer, Dennis Ugas became official. April 16th from Jerry World, AT&T Stadium. Love this. Three-belt unification bout. You got Errol Spence in his first fight since, you know, the eye injury and why he couldn't fight Manny Pacquiao. His first fight since Danny Garcia in December of 2020, which is nuts. Dennis Ugas is coming off of that huge win over Pacquiao. Love it. Stylistically, it's a great matchup. It's with Spence. The fact that he throws 70-plus punches around, Ugas is a little more economical, two southpaws, three belts on the line, brings us one step closer to Undisputed at 147, brings us one step closer to potentially Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. And Keith Thurman is in the mix. He looked pretty good last weekend. Also, Mike Coppinger just reported that Canelo Alvarez is going to get the bag once again. Eddie Hearn and Matchroom are going to throw $85 million at Canelo for two fights. First fight, May 7th against Dmitry Bivol for the championship at 175. The second fight would be a trilogy with Gennady Golovkin sometime in September. I mean, Canelo could go any way right now. He's off, you know, he's put up multiple offers. One of them was the PBC with Charlo. It's good to be Canelo. He's in the driver's seat right now. No matter who Canelo chooses to fight, we know that the boxing world is going to tune in for that one. This episode here, we have a new sponsor on board here at Inside Boxing Live. This episode is being brought to you by the Two Beers Podcast. You got time for two beers? Then you got time for the Two Beers Podcast. Just two regular guys talking about regular things that guys talk about. Sports, movies, streaming, no clickbait, no hot takes, good, honest conversation. I know the two guys, that they're great guys. You know, just like two guys at a bar or camping or at a barbecue. So grab two beers and come join the Two Brew Crew. The Two Beers Podcast, the pod for the everyman. I'm going to be appearing on their podcast next week. I enjoy it. It's fun, and they're big boxing fans. So go check out the Two Beers Podcast over on Spotify and iTunes. And this episode is also brought to you by DiBella Entertainment. Lou DiBella, of course, the big-time promoter in boxing, who has a piece of Emmanuel Togoh, also has George Kambosos. Could we see Ryan Garcia versus George Kambosos? DiBella Entertainment, one of the pillars here in New York City and the fight game. All right, here is Ryan Garcia. All right, our guest this week on Inside Boxing Live, he's back. King Rye is here. He'll be in the ring April 9th on DAZN, his first fight in a long time. I'm happy to see him back. I'm happy to see him here on Inside Boxing Live. How are you, Ryan?
Good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And yeah, I'm excited for my return as well.
Yeah, I think the whole boxing world is excited. I feel like anytime you say anything, it turns into a headline. I think that's a good thing. It could be perceived as a bad thing, but to be cared about is important one way or another in the boxing world. And I put out a tweet that's saying that I am simply excited to see Ryan Garcia back. I'm hoping he has a long, fruitful career. And it just some positive comments, some negative comments, which I'm sure you're very aware of. But first off, I got to tell you this story. So I'm doing this from my apartment, and in my the lobby of my apartment, they're redoing it. So it sounds like World War III down there. They're jackhammering. So I go down there and I just tell them, hey guys, is it possible if you could stop from for a half hour? Because I do a boxing podcast. And the guy's like, well, who are you interviewing? I said, Ryan Garcia. He's like, oh my God, I'm a huge boxing fan. When's he fighting Tank? When's he fighting Tank? So I thought that was pretty damn funny that this guy downstairs.
People ask me that every day.
Seriously, it has to be something you are asked once a day.
Yeah, at least once a day.
Well, isn't that like a good thing though? Because I always say to young fighters like Shakur Stevenson, you know, he was always like, why am I always left out of the top young guys? Like it's always you, Teofimo, Haney, Tank. But like for a while, Shakur was left out of it. I was like, yeah, that's because you don't have like a natural rival. Like it's pretty clear you and Tank have something brewing. So I think that's a good thing.
Oh, it's most definitely a good thing. It's good. It's good to know that you have a super, super fight that you could make. And I know that that's possible. So it's a comfortable feeling because you know that at the end of the day, you make that fight, you're good.
What's going on with Canelo? I know he had some things to say. That was a while back. But how's the relationship with the big bro?
It's great. I mean, he said those comments I don't know how long ago exactly, but he just pretty much told me that it was just coming from a good place in his heart, and he was just trying to motivate me. Mm-hmm. Told me that after the plant fight, right, that he loved, he didn't mean anything bad. He didn't have no bad intentions, which I didn't think he did. But you know, I mean, from what he said, that's probably true. But I wasn't motivated to do anything because I was going through a hard time, and I was obviously in a very dark place. So mm-hmm. Wasn't in the gym. It's because I couldn't bring myself to do anything at those moments. Right. But hard worker, and I've been working since I was 7 years old, never took a year off. And I just, you know, I know who I am. So it's all mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, I think, coming from Canelo, it means more. You know, it's like, you know, like he's not mad. He just like wants to see you reach your highest potential. If anything, I would be like, wow, he, you know, thinks enough of me to you know, spark something, you know?
Definitely pulled me aside and said, like, he's told me things that mean a lot to me. You know, he's pulled me and said that he sees something in me that, you know, he doesn't see ever, and that I'm probably one of the most talented people you've seen, like, in mm-hmm. front of him. And he just wants me to be the best I could be because he doesn't want it to go to waste. And
of course, I
do have a lot of potential, and I know I'm going to be great. I just mm-hmm. I think that time I took off was just a time so I don't make a mistake. Right. You know, I won't make those. They try to push through it, right? And like, oh, I handle everything. Before you know it, they're acting out, or they're, you know, making some big mistakes outside the ring mm-hmm. that they could have helped themselves before that happened. You know, it's just, I just chose to step up and before anything bad happened.
No, I think it's a smart move. I was a big supporter of it. I was disgusted, and I wasn't surprised by some of the comments that day when you made the announcement that your one wouldn't be fighting. I think it was Fortuna. And man, I just, it was like I said, not surprised, but just like, really, is this what we're going to do to one of our best young stars? You know, with boxing fans, it's not like a different sport. Boxing fans should root for these young guys. So the health of the sport is there.
I think boxing fans are out of touch with just out of touch with society in a way. I think we're all coming together to fight against mm-hmm. Mental health mm-hmm. and to really let it be open to a lot of people, because a lot of young men are, it's hard for them to talk about their feelings. And actually, suicide is actually more common in young men. And men, actually, because everybody's saying you got to be tough, you got to be a certain way, right. You know, that. So boxing fans, they didn't really get behind me. But at the end of the day, I didn't do it for them. I did it for myself, and I did it for people that might need help, you know, coming out like, yo, I got issues right now and I might need some help, you know, some mm-hmm. professional, which I got, and I'm at a way better place than I was. And I feel so much focused. I just feel focused and just fresh. You know?
That's awesome. That's great, man. I'm happy to hear that. And I'm sure you probably saved some lives. I mean, you have a huge platform. You probably get messages all the time. You know, that's a great thing. And I was in support of it. And I, you know, I put out a video saying we need to rally around Ryan Garcia right now, not, you know, throw shade, not, you know, end this stigma that mental health. I mean, everyone suffers from it here and there. Obviously, I'm not stepping in a ring for entertainment, getting into fights. But, you know, I do live television. There's a lot of anxiety that comes with that. There's a lot of, you know, just general nerves of everyday life, especially the last 2 years.
Don't even have to be in the showbiz to really relate. You
right.
Anybody, you know,
exactly.
Work or pressure, you know, just in an everyday life situation, you know, things go on in people's lives. So I think it was a chance for us to really, you know, a boxer's coming out with mental health issues. I think it was a time to maybe, you know, let's get all the support we could get. But mm-hmm. you know, I'll just be a pioneer. So hopefully one day, you know, I'll get behind the next kid that wants to deal with this. And I am working towards it. You know, I'm shooting a Snapchat series on mental health. I'm talking to a lot of athletes, influencers, and just everyday type of people just to, you know, push that that movement.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was kind of hard for me to hear people just come at me constantly about it. You know, there was really no love. I never had love. Even, I mean, obviously from a lot of other people, you know, my fans and whatnot. But I'm talking for like the general boxing fans.
Yeah.
I didn't get that type of support. But like I said, it's all good. And it's weird. It's weird. But it's like not surprising because
right.
boxing are ruthless, you know.
Right. It's not surprising. Like I remember one of the most outspoken was Lou DiBella, who is a big advocate for mental health, a big advocate for suicide prevention. You know, he I work with him all the time, and he's a close friend of mine. He spoke out in your support too. So there were some, but there were obviously, I don't want to highlight all the jerks out there, negative people out there. There were some in the media too that I was surprised by. People you know, with decently big platforms didn't understand. Yeah. Were you surprised? I think we know who you're talking about, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely surprised that Steve Kim and Mario Lopez and all those guys that just wanted to pounce on the moment when I was kind of having a bad time, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just shows kind of their character and how they see things. They think things are jokes when some things are not jokes. And
right.
What can I say? Like, that's just who they are.
It was ignorance, bro. It was ignorance. It was they didn't even understand what it meant. Like, and he made a comment like, "Oh, isn't it just like getting a headache, or isn't it just having a bad day?" I was listening to it, and I was like, "Is this for real?" Like, Mario Lopez should know better. Steve Kim, maybe not.
Maybe just do a little bit more research before you think you know what it is, because that's the same comments that makes people not want to talk about it. It's like, "Oh, okay. I'm just having." Hey, right? Okay. Why does it feel like that every day?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like, it was ignorant to say, but I have no hard feelings. You know, I've squashed it with Mario.
Sure.
He's always coming at me for whatever reason.
That guy's, he's kind of went off the deep end a little bit, but whatever. I don't want to talk about him on this show, but you know, I'm glad you squashed it with Mario. I think he could be an advocate for a lot of things, especially in the boxing realm. All right, let's change things up. Let's talk about your big fight coming up this April. I mean, when you were going through all that, did you honestly think like maybe like I may never fight again? Did you ever think that April 9th would happen, which so happens to be when we're recording this, exactly 2 months away?
Yeah. When I was deep in it, I didn't think I was going to live. I was so impressive, and I went to bad habits. I started drinking, and I never drink ever, but I was getting drunk all the time. I wanted to kill myself at one point. I was so paralyzed in my mind. I couldn't get out of it. Like, if I could explain it in like English words in a way that could explain the torment I was feeling, I would, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Just so bad and so intense that I thought maybe I'd just rather just not be here because I can't do anything I love. I watch people fight and my competitive spirit's still there, but mm-hmm. for some reason my mind can't get it together. So I didn't understand what was going on. So I needed professional help. I got it. I feel great. And I know the things that caused it. You know, it's obviously stress management. I was taking on a lot of things at all myself, and I didn't really have people in place to help take that off me. Right. And especially the type of highs I would go into, because the fight, it would be crazy, you know, all the attention and everything just coming at you at once.
I can't imagine, man. I can't imagine. How old are you now?
23.
Jesus. When I was 23, man, I was up to no good. I didn't have 10 million followers. I didn't. I wasn't a professional athlete. I mean, you did what any one of these guys that criticize you every day would do at that age with that type of money and the type of attention.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's a good word there.
I have everything, like, it's going, it's like it was so much all at once. Like, just everything came down at me at once. It hit me, like I said, it hit me like a truck.
And like, I feel like it catches up. Like, this happens to me sometimes. Like, I feel like it's like everything catches up at once, and all of a sudden it hits you all at once.
Exactly. And then you feel that pressure that you didn't know you were carrying, and it just smacks you. Like, oh, like, what's going on? I was like, yo, what happened to me? Like, this is so weird. Like, I felt great, but then back home, and I just was just in the worst place. And I was like, what is going on? But, you know, it's a learning process, you know, it's how to handle the highs, how to handle the come down and everything. Because, you know, nobody was ever a professional athlete in my family, so nobody really had experience in this, you know, atmosphere.
Life, man, and boxing too doesn't help. I mean, it is the loneliest sport. I mean, one day you're up high, one day you're low. Look at Teofimo Lopez, your counterpart. I mean, a guy that when you came out and said, "I'm going through some stuff," he put out a nice message about you. And, you know, he's not exactly like coming out and saying that he's having issues, but he is posting some stuff that's raising eyebrows. And, you know, have you spoke to Teofimo? Do you have a message to him? I know he's going through some stuff right now.
I haven't really talked to Teofimo, but I should probably shoot him a message and see, you know, how he's doing. I definitely seen the things that he was posting, which is pretty alarming. And that's probably what he was dealing with before the fight. You know, it's just that maybe he should have just took some time to really, you know, like I said, regather yourself before something like that happened. You know, I personally don't think he should have lost that fight. You know, if he was in a better mindset or something, you know, he probably would have won that fight. But that just goes to show you that mental health is important. And the mental game is probably the most important thing going into the boxing ring.
Damn right. And
he's going to be good. I think once he figures everything out, whatever he's going on, you know, he'll be able to reestablish himself, because he's a talented fighter. He's, you know, he has good power, good speed and all that. So I think he'll regather himself, but I wish the best for him.
Good. That's great. That's a great message. And I know he wished you well. And like, this is my main thing. Like, this is my livelihood. Like, I work in boxing, you know, I grew up in this sport, you know, I've been in it since I was a kid with CompuBox. So like, I root for the health of the sport. I root for you to have a long career, I root for Teofimo to have a long career, Tank, you know, everyone, so we can make the best fight, so we can elevate the sport. Cause I think it's one of the best sports in the world. So that's a good message. I hope that he does get the help. I consider him a friend. You know, we've hung out a few times, and I know, you know, he's going through some stuff, and you're right. It's a sport where you're the highest of highs. Does it get any higher than he was at when he beat Lomachenko? No. You know, all the belts, you know, he's getting money thrown at him, endorsements, you know, it goes overnight celebrity. And then, you know, now he loses to George, and now he's at the lowest of lows, and it all happened in like, you know, 15, 16 months.
And that's what I was trying to tell people. It's like, luckily, I've been handling that type of attention since I was like, I blew up on the internet at 19. It prepared me for like some good moments in my career where I got a lot of money quick. I had money before I even made money in boxing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was like doing really well off, and I was like, okay, wow. And I was getting attention from, you know, online, you know, that attention is deep. When you have like a lot of followers and like millions of people watching your stuff, like you go outside and you're like, wow, like everyone knows me. They feel like they know me at least. It prepared me for now, you know, when I start, you know, being at the top of the sport. Now I have both, you know, social media and, you know, the like, what's a mainstream athlete, you know, and combining the two, I think social media prepared me for how to handle those type of emotions. And even So I had to gather myself and like, okay, this is getting intense. This is how I balance it out. Okay, here we go. So that's what Teofimo just, you know, he'll learn how to deal with it. It's just a matter of time, how he moves forward on his career. But I'm happy because I'm back. April 9th.
There we go. Let's talk about that fight. Let's talk about Manuel Tego. I mean, we just went down. I thought it was interesting, though. Thought it was interesting, though, to hear the mindset of a young, popular guy in the boxing. I think the fans are intrigued by that. But we also want to see you get back in the ring, man. It's been a long time. Emmanuel, how do we come to Emmanuel Tego? I know Isaac Cruz is being thrown around. I know there are some other names. How do we settle on him? And I think he can give you rounds.
Here's the thing. Like, people don't understand. I'm the type of person, you come at me, I will personally come at you, because in a boxing aspect, I'm very competitive. Actually, in everything, I'm very competitive. And I just, it's my nature to respond to you and talk my shit, right? You know, in a respectful way.
It's a sport.
So when I watch people fight, of course I want to comment on it, because I'm young and I'm, you know, still, you know, just full of, you know, testosterone. I'm just full of competitive spirit, you know, right. And you know, when I comment on people, I'm like, yeah, I'll beat your ass. Like and then, you know, I started talking with Isaac Cruz because I thought it was a good opportunity for me to come back and dominate somebody that was doing good with my rival that everybody always pins me against. So I called Oscar up and I said, hey, can you make this fight happen when I come back? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. Do you want him? I was like, yeah, that's perfect for me. You know, short, come forward fighter. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I can knock him out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So I advocated for that fight. And people thought, you know, because Isaac Cruz obviously did good with Tank. They're, oh, he's going to beat Ryan or whatever. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then we started having conversations with him. And then he just started bugging out, talking about, oh, I don't know if you're going to show up to the fight. Like, shut up, man. Shut up. You sound immature as hell. I pulled out one time for mental health issues, and the other time I broke my wrist. Relax. Like, if anything, you should try to get me now. I'm coming back from a wrist injury. Like, the things that they were saying, they wanted X amount of money. Like, dude, nobody knew you before Tank Davis fight. Do you understand? You're barely here. Like, you just arrived. Like, you're gonna get, actually we offered him more than he got paid for Jermonte fight. He didn't want to take that. So it was on him. And now he's kind of irking my nerves just trying to talk this mess. So I probably will knock him out after this one. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm going for
Wait, what are you going for? I mean, how many fights do you want to have this year?
It's just when I knock Isaac Cruz out. Or should I even knock Isaac Cruz out? It's going to get to that point. Like, dang, Ryan already beat this guy. Should I even knock him out? Probably not.
Well, going back to this whole negotiation and like kind of like going back to some of the criticisms you get from fans, do you kind of like understand maybe a little bit where it's coming from? Because like obviously you brought up your hand. You can't do anything about that. Fighters break their hand all the time. And then one time pulling out for the mental health issues that we just illustrated. Do you kind of like, do you, and those are valid reasons, don't get me wrong, but do you kind of like understand like a little bit where some fans might be like, oh, I he's just not dependable, or he's just going to pull out again?
The only thing I could understand from the boxing fans when it comes to that is all the fights that I thought were going to happen, I said, mm-hmm. because I was naive, because I was told a lot of things, right. And I've learned that, and I won't announce a fight before it's actually
like Pacquiao. Done. Did you learn? Was that a learning lesson?
That was a strong learning lesson. I take full responsibility because I shouldn't have posted a fight poster when it wasn't done yet. And I just wanted to see how fans would react. Obviously, it got over 1 million likes on a fight poster.
Yeah, I reposted. Yeah, I fell for it. I reposted it.
Hey, but the thing is, though, that fight was actually like, was really trying to get made. Like I FaceTimed Manny Pacquiao. He wanted to do it. Everyone wanted to do it. Yeah. I don't, it fell through because the guy that wanted to fund it was just a lunatic. He was literally like, I think he's losing it a little. I'm not going to say names, but right. Yeah, he had a lot of crazy ideas, but he was going off the rails. Mm-hmm. And whatever he was saying was, it was a lie. So it wasn't going to get funded the way I thought it was.
Right.
But I take full responsibility. I shouldn't have posted the fight poster. I was just excited. You know, I was still, yeah, I mean, I'm still young, so I was excited.
Dude, you thought you were going to fight Manny Pacquiao. Like, I would have done the same thing.
I was in negotiations to fight Tank, but at the time when I got offered that, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, I look up to this guy. I like how he fights. I think I know I could beat him. Like, he's, I see shots I can land on Manny Pacquiao. Like, I should do this. Like, oh my, this is crazy. Like, if I beat him, this will be a legendary moment. Like, I was so excited. Man. And
probably more money than Tank, too.
Way more money than Tank. And, you know, it's just more, it's so exciting because I really wanted it to happen and it didn't happen. Then when I tried to go back to the Tank fight, Tank said, fuck you. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I get it. Like, I wasted some time on you guys, but they weren't trying to make a real deal, to be honest. They were just kind of just testing out the water, seeing where we're at, seeing if they could get more on me. You know, they're supposedly a bigger star when they're not. But, you know, I don't want to deal with those problems. I know that I bring, you know, he could try to make a pay-per-view with somebody else, and I guarantee he's not going to do well. The only pay-per-view that's going to do well is him and myself.
I agree.
So, at the end of the day, you have to come up with a great deal that works for both of us. And no, you're not a bigger the star than me. Do not say that. Two, I'm probably more of a star than you, but you won't admit it. So I'll suck my ego up and say 50-50.
That was going to say, I was like, would you be, in order to make a Tank fight, would you be willing to, like, all right, you can come in the ring last, or you can get maybe a bigger split, or, you know, not a huge difference. You could have make concessions.
Yeah, we could, I could do, look, if to make that fight, I would definitely, you know, on some stuff, suck it up and be like, oh, shit, okay, all right, we'll give you that. I won't be like Maidana, not using the gloves I want. He won't make me do that. You can use No Boxing in Lower Life. I will use No Boxing in Lower Life. That type of stuff, no, he won't get on me. But
the other stuff, the stuff that you need to make a fight, you know, the splits, the this, that, and the other, because, you know, the money stuff.
50-50, even though I should probably deserve a little bit more, but I will definitely take, you know, 50-50. That's probably the lowest I'll take.
Well, he does great gates, though.
I don't care what he does.
But that's great. Something that they're going to bring to you and show you. Like, they have tangible, you know, numbers.
I have a gate because when I fought my fights, I had all COVID capacities.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold out every COVID capacity. We're going to see when I go to San Antonio how at the gate or whatnot. But I know that, you know, it's going to do good. I mean, my fans go crazy. And I know that I've sold out every place that I could sell out. Anaheim, the Honda Center actually sold out.
Yeah, that's the one that I point to. That Valentine's Day one was like 10,000 on a Friday night. I mean, that was pretty damn good against, you know, relative, I wouldn't say no name, but not you weren't fighting like Tank Davis. But yeah, man, everyone wants to see that fight. They want to see it happen. I mean,
imagine if I fought Leo Santa Cruz. I would do great numbers. Yeah. Like, Leo is known in the community where I live, and you know, a lot of boxing fans know him, but I wouldn't fight him. He's too small for me. As you see, Fonseca was too small for me. Tank is actually too small for me. I'm gonna find out real soon.
Yeah, you're pretty tall. I mean, we've done interviews in person. Like, you know, I could see you filling out to like 147 one day. You know, Tank is a smaller guy, but he hits hard. I mean, the fight is everything, man. The fight, that's the fight that will transcend the sport. And I know you're up for it. Are you surprised that Tank is not even being mentioned or being involved? He's not even being floated for a Kambosos fight?
No, I know that because he's not going to do it. Nobody thinks he's going to do it.
Why is that?
He almost lost to Pitbull Cruz. Mayweather will not. And it's not even Mayweather. It's just their format and how they want to move Tank. They want to make sure he's a star no matter what. So they're not going to. It's like low risk, you know. Tank wins by knockout, it builds his stardom, which it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally understand it. Like, do your thing. So that's why he's not mentioned. He's not really wanting to be great. You know, he just wants to make all the money he can make. And I'm not mad at it. You know, I want to make a lot of money as well. But I do want to knock people out that people don't think I'll knock out, like Kambosos and Haney and all these other guys, Lomachenko. You know, I would fight those guys because I know I could beat them. Like, I know in my heart that when I step in the ring, I'm always I don't know, I'll find something special to do. You'll just see, like, I'll find the shot that I need to do. I'll do what I have to do. Right. You know, pressure on Luke Campbell. I'm not even a pressure fighter, but I learned how to do it against Campbell because I knew I had to do that. Mm-hmm. So I know when I step in these rings with these guys, I'm going to beat the guys. I'm going to beat Kambosos. I will knock Devin Haney out, all respect. And I mean, it's just a matter of time before I do it. Now, yeah. Tank, he'll fight me. Wonder why? Because he's going to make him a lot of money and he thinks he could beat me.
I butt heads with Tank fans. I butt heads. Leonard Ellerbe has it out for me for some reason. Constantly retweets me when I say anything about Tank Davis.
But I love Leonard Ellerbe.
So do I. I think he's a character. But like, I'm allowed to criticize Tank.
He has temper. He has temper issues. Come on, Leonard. Calm down.
He's quick on Twitter. He got Twitter fingers for sure. He's got like rabbit ears, but for Twitter, like he'll retweet everything. He's just constantly on Twitter. And I didn't even say anything that bad. I said Tank they have their own formula and it's clearly working. Like, you know, they're selling out arenas. He's winning these fights. I mean, he's doing good gates, doing decent pay-per-view numbers for what today's market is considered decent, but you know, you're going to come to a time where he's going to have to fight someone. He's older, well older than you and Haney and all them. I mean, he's not a prospect anymore. He's not he's been around for a while. And, you know, just simply stating that, you know, it gets them upset. But like you said, like, we understand why they're doing that. It makes sense. Like, it's good. That's great. He can sell out arenas and he can make a lot of money, but I think it's going to come to a head soon where he's fighting probably Rolly Romero next. In June, and then he won't fight again until December, and then that's another year where he'll be like 28 or 29 soon.
Yeah, he wastes a lot of time. And you know what's crazy is like people are so hard on me when it comes to like not fighting anybody, but like rarely hard on Tank. I mean, as in the general public, for some reason I look at all my comments, who the fuck are you fighting? You don't fight. Oh, you are well, shit.
Yeah,
you're not. You're a seed fighter. You're this. You suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. What? fight Campbell or something. Like, imagine that. That might not go too well for him. That range, the little, you know, strength. Well, obviously Campbell's retired, but I'm just saying that fight probably would have gave Tank a lot of problems.
That fight was crazy, man. Your fight with Campbell was like a movie. I think tweeted that after. It was like legitimately like a script. Like your toughest test, you get knocked down, you get up, you win. You have that embrace with Eddie. Canelo was in the ring. You have a crown on. I was jacked up that night.
Yeah, it was definitely a movie. Like, you're not gonna find a lot of moments like that for sure. That was pretty cool.
Right. People are like, he got knocked down, but I was like, okay, you realize this is a fight, right? Like, we're still in this like Mayweather thing where if you lose a round or you look bad for a moment, you're like.
Realize most legends have got knocked down.
Sugar Ray Leonard, one of your legends, one of my favorites, who's coming on next week, been knocked down like numerous times.
Yeah, you just get back up and you dog the guy you were got knocked by. Like, that's it. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, fucking be perfect? Yeah. No, even Mayweather got dropped. He got hurt.
DeMarco didn't get dropped. He got hurt though.
He's gotten dropped before. Zab Judah dropped him. Don't cap.
No, he didn't. No, he never got knocked down.
Yeah, they never scored it a knockdown.
Okay, semantics. He got stunned by Mosley, and everyone went nuts.
He touched the canvas. That's a knockdown. He could deny it all he wants. We all know the rules. Plus, when he fought DeMarcus Corley, he got cracked. He was wobbled. I never got that. Never happened to me. You know, all the old jiggly legs. That. But look, it shows how much grit Mayweather had. He's like, All right, you good shit. And then he destroyed him. See, that's what I liked about Mayweather back in the day. That's that mindset. Like, okay, like Sugar A. Leonard, he was getting his ass, you know, picked apart by Tommy Hearns in the beginning of the rounds. Then he starts, pop, boom, and then just knocks him out. That's what makes you great when you have that in you, that like, I want to do something special. Like, you hit me with a good shot, but I'm going to work you to the point you're out of there. I'm getting you out of there. That's special.
That is. That's a real fight. That's a fight, you know. But that's, you know, Mayweather's like a gift and a curse. Like, he was great for the sport, but, you know, the O, having the O next to your name is so important, but that's kind of going away. And the lightweights are interesting. You know, but good point that you brought up before, like, you know, people criticize you for not fighting anyone, but you take a look at the lightweight division, like, you know, a lot of these guys aren't fighting each other. You know, like, just the tweets that I get responses from. I put out a tweet about you, and it's like, well, his last fight, it was only 5,000 people there. And I'm like, well, are you explaining Ryan Garcia, or are you explaining Devin Haney right now? Because everything you just said is the same thing that's going on with Devin Haney. Like, he is not a ticket seller. He's a great fighter, good fighter, very sustainable skills, good jab, good kid, good fighter. But, you know, I think these stories that are coming out are true. I know for a fact they're true.
I could probably guarantee this. DAZN was probably super sad that I didn't fight JoJo Diaz, because that would have sold out everywhere.
Of course.
And I guarantee you their subscription base for that fight with Campbell went through the roof. I could guarantee you. Just our highlights had over 18 million
views.
That
was nuts.
Do you understand that, how much that is? Like, yes, there's a reason why they want me to fight Kambosos, because the subscriptions that come in when I fight, or the viewership, probably 10 times more than...
Well, it's a business, you know?
That's kind of overstating. Not 10 times more, but maybe like triple.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. It's a business. It's called prize fighting. You know, DAZN isn't a business. So if they're looking at you and they're looking at Haney, they're going to say, what is going to give us more subscriptions? What is going to make the biggest event so we can make back our investment on what they are paying you? I mean, this is economics 101. Like, nothing against Devin Haney.
Yeah, no, nothing against Devin Haney. But I tell you this. He's not willing to put it all on the line to get the knockout to destroy somebody like I am. He's there to win the fight. I'm winning the fight, but I'm going to put it all on the line to sleep you and land that shot to knock you out. You see, after I hurt Campbell in the fifth round, the sixth round, I come out and throw everything I had the first 30 seconds. I didn't get him out of there, but then I went right back to it. And I said, okay, I'm still going to continue to press him until I knock him out. Because I look it. If you're not willing to entertain the fans like that, nobody's going to want to promise you that. I fell asleep. Devin Haney was fighting JoJo Diaz. That was so bad. We're tagging him up, but why didn't you continue to hit him? You hit him, and then you move away. You act like he has power. You act like you know, JoJo was this monster. Like, just get him out of there already. It's like, I don't understand. I don't think they got that blood. I'm bloodthirsty when I'm in the ring. When I'm bloodthirsty, I hit you, and I want to destroy you with every shot I could possibly hit you with.
I think it's pretty clear, like, when you step in the ring, you do go for the kill, and that's what makes you excited. That's what makes Tank exciting, too. You know, he's a knockout artist.
He puts it all in the ring to get the knockout and to entertain the fans, and I respect it. I'm a fan of Gervonta Davis. I like how he fights. I like what he brings to the table. I want to fight him, too, because it's going to be a special moment. I know it will be. So that's what Devin doesn't get. You can't just be Mayweather. You weren't even pretty boy. You didn't even have the pretty boy stage. You're just money Mayweather. Yeah. There's nothing.
Well, you got paid a lot. I mean, so when DAZN came into the fold and Eddie gave him a lot of money. I mean, I'm sure you would have took the same thing too. He got overpaid. If you go by,
I got way less than Devin Haney, way less. And I was bringing in way more subscriptions. So when they say Ryan don't deserve nothing, I took the back end on everything. Why? Because I was making money outside the ring, you know, granted. But I took, man, the amount I was getting paid, I just knew that it's going to pay off sooner or later, because I'm a beast. And when I get in the ring, they're going to want to watch me.
Right.
Devin don't get money, and you're not bringing nothing to the table. But he did. That's the thing. He got paid crazy amount of money. And I'm like, damn, kudos to you. You're making a lot of money. I don't know how you do it, but. Shit.
Well, Eddie gave him the big bag, but that's what's the hinder. It's funny because he got the big money, but it's also like preventing him from getting the Kambosos fight. So are you happy with the big money, or do you want the big challenge? Like,
I'm happy where I'm at right now. I like how I played my hand, and now I'm ready to beat this guy Tago, and then hopefully fight Kambosos. And he keeps on barking. This is what I don't get. Kambosos keeps barking on the internet, responding to people, that's not true. I'm the boss, blah, blah, blah. Dude, why do you need a lie? Just don't say anything. You know the truth. It's out there. Robert Garcia said it. Everybody says it.
Yeah,
like,
funny.
Just stay quiet and just see how it plays out. Like, who cares what people are saying on the internet at the end of the day? It's the fight either going to happen or not. I honestly, you know, I would love to fight Kambosos, but I personally don't need to even go that route. I could beat Kegel and fight some other dude. I could fight whoever I want and do pretty good. So it's like, don't lie. Just let things play out how they're going to play out. You know, if you want to go my route, let's do it. If not, go to Lomachenko, fight Devin Haney. You could do that route. That is, it's like, I don't get why he thinks
it's very funny because everything, his behavior now is very similar to what he was criticizing Teofimo for in the lead up to their fight.
And I like Kambosos. So I think he's a cool dude. And I gave him props. I told him a long time ago, hey man, I think you could beat Teofimo. Good luck. You know, do your thing. He said, yeah, man, if I beat him, you could have the first crack at it. I promised you.
Crazy.
It's literally dead, and I was cool with it. And then all of a sudden, when I say, because somebody asked me, how do you think that fight's going to play out? We're still competitors. I'm not going to be all lovey-dovey. I'm going to say I'm going to knock you out within 1 to 7 rounds because I personally think that.
Yeah.
Then he got all, you know, butt hurt by that. But
yeah, it's funny, man. It's like, you know why I feel like he's saying all this now is because he is in a really good spot in terms of like, he's not connected to any network. He's a network free agent, so he can literally like, he's in the best spot possible. He's like, it's like him and Canelo, which is nuts. Like Canelo's a free agent, so he can literally fight whoever he wants. Like George has all the belts. He doesn't have a network telling him you have to fight this guy or you have to fight that guy. So he's feeling it right now. He's got a whole country behind him, but
that's good.
It's great. But you could see like he's starting to say the things and behave in the ways that Teofimo did, and that's what he criticized Teofimo for. So it's kind of funny. It's just boxing. I've seen this over and over. It's the same story in boxing. Like,
can't control himself.
Fighters change, but the story, the narratives, and the behavior stays the same.
It's funny. You know, you get a little power. You think you're power hungry now.
But don't you need that, though, as fighters? You guys rely on self promotion more than any other sport.
When I get the bouts, you're going to see how I move. I'm going to move in the shadows. Because when you're really in power, you don't talk.
Well, they say real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Hey, I don't have all the bouts, so I could talk all the shit I want.
Yeah, but that's crazy, man. You haven't, like, yes, you have, like, these interim belts, yeah. But and that's obviously your dream, right, is to be the legit world champ.
Of course. Like, and I think, obviously, the bouts are saturated right now, which everybody knows that. No, you can't argue about that.
Yeah.
To me, it's like the special moments in the ring is what I look forward to. Like that fight with Campbell, that was amazing. A fight with Kambosos might be magical. A fight with Tank might be magical. It's like those special, a fight with Lomachenko would probably bring super buzz too.
Yeah,
it's like whatever could create that buzz. And so when I was a kid, I would watch Oscar De La Hoya fight, you know, Ricardo Mayorga. And I remember my heart, you know, before the fight, like, oh my gosh, like,
right,
like, so much anxiety, but a good anxiety, like,
mm-hmm. butterflies
and waiting for that bell to ring and the build up. That's what I want to bring back to the fans, because they don't feel that much anymore. I know it for a fact. And I know when I step in the ring, there's always tension before that first bell rings, the same way I feel when Gervonta fights.
Yep.
Like things are about to go down. Like what's gonna happen? I have no clue, but
isn't that why we love the sport? My favorite thing about boxing is when before the fight starts, there's a trillion people in the ring, guys that shouldn't even be in the ring, these executives, blah blah blah. And then they start to dissipate out and they file out, and then it's just you, both fighters in the corner and the referee, and there's like 10 seconds where they wait to hit that bell. Nothing better in sports, in my opinion. What are you thinking in that moment? I'm sitting there ready to count the punches, and I'm like sweating.
You know what I'm thinking? Ring that fucking bell already.
Seriously.
Dude, it's like so much tension before that.
Yeah. That's just crazy.
It's like, okay, shit, let's do it again. Same thing.
Over and over. I mean, so much buildup. It's like unlike any other sport, all this buildup. Like you have a singular focus for 8 weeks.
The Super Bowl every time you fight, for sure.
Definitely. Well, yeah, it is. That's why I think it's such a great sport, and we can get it back to that. It's having as an event. Like when my friends always ask me for tickets to fights, and I'm like, and some of them have never been to a fight, and they're like, what do I expect? I'm like, expect like the craziest night of your life. Like it's not like a baseball game. It's not a, you know, it's kind of like football. It's kind of like soccer in a way, where it's like an event. The crowd is nuts. it's like legitimately like fighting. It's like Roman Coliseum. Like the guys are getting in there and the crowd is into it and everyone's dressed to the nines.
Dudes that think they were supposed to box, they get drunk and then they think they can fight anybody.
Well, I had Dame Lillard on the show. I sent you the clip last week, and you know, he's a huge boxing fan. And I was like, how did you get into boxing? Like, what made you love the sport? And he said, just like everyone else, I thought I could fight as a kid. So I get into fights. And then I realized that it's not just who can throw the hardest, who can hit the hardest. It's there's a skill involved. And I thought it was interesting. I feel like we could probably keep going, but I know you got to get to the gym. And but quickly, what is your, like, how many times you want to fight this year? Like, I know you want to just get active. You've been out for a while. Is it just one more after this? You try to squeeze in a third?
I'm going to try to squeeze in a third. Try to get three in this year. This first one should be good. And then I don't want to look past, obviously, Tagao. Mm-hmm. He's obviously a good fighter, slick, you know, but no power. I don't know until I get in there. But after this, I'm looking for a fight with Kambosos. You know, he'll see the type of buzz that happens when I fight, and he's going to want to hop on that. I know he will. They just haven't seen me fight in a while. That's why. But once I do that, if Kambosos wants that work, I'll definitely fight him in summertime or, you know, September maybe even.
Would you go over there?
I would, you know, I wouldn't mind going over there. There was a little hesitation because, I mean, does he want to make money or not? You know, I feel like you'll make more money over here. Mm-hmm. But if that's the only option I have, I've already, you know, I'm vaccinated. I got everything done. So I'll definitely head over there and just put a beating on him, I guess, in front of his hometown. That's kind of sad. Knocked out in front of Australia. I love Australia. It's crazy out there. The girls over there are amazing. Like, everything's amazing out there.
I've seen some stuff, but especially the girls. That definitely stuck out to me. But yeah, he kind of drew his fork in the sand. You know, like, it's got to be Australia. It's got to be this and that. So I'm interested to see what's next. The lightweights, I still have hope for you guys to all fight each other.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't fight anybody tough next fight. I hope he could get a good one in and then win that fight in Australia for his hometown people. Because yeah, if he's Lomachenko or Devin, who knows if he's going to win. He has a good chance to win, but he's not probably going to win. And they'll probably kill our fight. I think our fight would be huge. Mm-hmm. Bigger than, obviously, Loma and Devin Haney. Definitely a bigger buzz. So hopefully he takes that route. If not, it's all good. I'll find a way to, you know, get what I need.
Right. Yeah. You just got to get back in there and get into the flow of things. And I'm excited to see you come back, man. I appreciate you doing this. I like that we could get it done in the DMs. Didn't have to go through any PR. I was impressed by that. And it shows me that you're ready for April 9th and you're focused.
No, just because I like you. You know, if I didn't like, definitely would have sent you some people to tell you no. But
go through the channels and everything. I still do that with certain fighters, but I want people to know that you know, you're a man of the people. You go right to the source. You go right to Ryan, to the DMs where it goes down, right?
Yeah, it always goes down again.
Well, we'll end on that note. Good luck, April 9th. I'm sure we'll talk again. Good luck, man.